Hey everyone, this is Dubla, Transduction Signal on Dublab Radio. I'm your host, Trevarsi. Join me each month as I have featured guests. We'll talk about their live performance. We'll do a short breakdown and we'll get into their whole musical journey. And this month, I'm super honored and happy to have 92 Jelani. He's a producer, live performer. He is a sonic alchemist, like a modular guru. And he's originally from DC, Richmond area, now based in the LA area. And it's great to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. I mean, it's an honor to be able to share my journey with people.
Thank you for being here. And I have so many questions for you. I know a little bit about you. We've done a panel together and I just am so intrigued to learn even more. Yeah. But beforehand, I'd like to share your performance. Do you have anything you want to say about it or?
Sure. Yeah. I was doing my jam here in my studio and it was during the January series. So it was, I think, like January 25th or somewhere around then. But I enjoyed my recording that I did before on the January video. So I was like, all right, I'm feeling good. Let's do it. So yeah, that's the setup. Let's go into it.
All right. Awesome. All right. With that, let's get it started.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Wow. Like I really enjoyed that. I love how it just gradually you kept adding more layers and they were just working together like a call and response, and it just kept building and building. Do you want to talk a little bit about what was going on in your patch? Yeah, please.
For sure. So I guess for me, it's mainly about sequencing and interplay between sequencers. So I have, let me just turn around so I can look at my system.
Sure.
I have in my system two Verbose Voltage multi-stages, a sequence selector, and I have the Monome grid. So I'm using that as a sequencer too. And I also have the Hikari Euclidean rhythm dual sequencer. It's a tongue twister, but
but it's dope.
I was using the voltage multi-stage for one voice. Another one, I think I was taking into the sequence selector and kind of going to different outputs of the multi-stage. So for one of the outputs, I was doing a seven step, and then I think I was going from Euclidean sequencer into there too. So I think I was like going between two of those or something like that. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, my system is just playing with the sequencers and seeing how they can make different rhythms or grooves between each other. And for like my oscillators, I'm using the Verbose harmonic oscillators. I love them. And it's kind of like my main voice of choice. It's finding patterns and grooves in there and exploring those. So that was just like a jam with that. And then for like the pads, that was with the Hydrosynth. I'm using the Polyend tracker to sequence that, and that's awesome for that. So and that's also clocking the TR-8S, which is my drum machine situation. But yeah, with the Polyend tracker, you can have like different songs in there almost. Like making songs and then chaining them together. And then when I want like a different movement to happen, I go to a different song.
Kind of jump to a different pattern.
Exactly. I'm enjoying using the tracker a lot. It's definitely like my go-to sequencing solution for all the non-modular gear right now.
Nice. I played with the tracker once and it kind of reminded me of like playing a video game.
Yeah,
like with clicking around.
Right. It's definitely very Excel-minded, and it's like totally different from like a traditional like linear style sequencer. But I don't know, I just like it because it's a lot of information at once, so I can kind of like have four instruments going. So in this case, it was just the Hydrosynth, but I can have like the Hydrosynth and the Roland JP08s, and I'm working with Proteus now, so I'm just like learning how to dive deep into that. But I can control them all and kind of see what's going on with them all at once. That it just works for me in that aspect. And then if I want to do more crazy stuff, I just use the modular on top of that as like my main instrument of expression.
That's very cool. No, I love the way the different, the layers, but also you could hear the different patterns. So they're kind of just playing off each other and moving in and out. But then like the stab that was happening, or it sort of reminded me of that old school 90s sound, which I love. That's like my sound. I love that. And it kind of helped like glue it together. And
nice.
Yeah. Like, so I guess like taking a look at your system and just, you know, for those who, you know, can't see the system, he's using mainly a Verbose electronics, right? Verbose electronics is the official name. We just all call it Verbose modules, but that's predominantly your system for the...
Yeah. I mean, it's what I've fallen into comfort with. I mean, I started off with just like kind of like whatever. And I actually discovered the Verbo stuff because of the Bark filter bank, because I like learned how a vocoder works. And I was like, oh, I can just like make my own vocoder. This is awesome. And then I saw that they had like a product, which was what I was thinking about. I was like, oh, this is a filter bank. This is perfect. So I got that, and I was like in love with it. And I slowly started like discovering all the other modules in the system and how they're individually awesome. They just worked well for me. And like the whole mentality, just coming from the Buchla mentality, is kind of like performance first, the interface first, expression first. And seeing as how I was going into it as a solution for coming up with like different rhythms and being able to play things and have a lot of output for myself, it just kind of made sense, because I love the sound design aspects of modular, but that's like not the main thing for me. The main thing for me is like the ability to kind of just express myself, not in a very computer controlled world. Yeah.
Right, right. And I feel like, I think I've even heard him talk about just like the size of the modules and the way he, like the layout, the faders, the size of the knobs, it just makes it very performable system.
I remember a quote that he said one time. It was like, if you, for some reason, have, like, if you're blind and you're interacting with the modules, or it's totally pitch black and there's no lights or anything like that, each module is designed physically different. So, like, you can feel a harmonic oscillator, know what it is compared to all the other modules. And there's not that many. I mean, there probably are, and I'm not aware of it. But it's, like, unique in that aspect, because I can, just the layout of it is physically unique for each module. With some modules, it feels like the science tools, and like we'll have three knobs on this one, and the next one has a three placement in the same spot, and next one is the same placement in the same spot. But with the Verbo system, like everything is physically unique. So there's muscle memory, and you can kind of like learn how to interact with it in that aspect.
That's very interesting. I didn't hear that, but I guess that does make complete sense. And I like the fact that he approaches it that way, and as opposed to being very, you know, clinical about it, and then performance second or third, if that makes sense, like, you know. But
there's a lot of great systems out there. I'm not saying like this is like the creme de la creme of anything, but for me it made sense because it's like the guy was coming from a performance background, and I was trying to express myself in that aspect too. I've mainly have a Verbo system that I'm using, and I've recently acquired some Coma pedals. So I had the Coma filter for a while. They're FT201. It's like a filter with a sequencer on it, and it's really cool because a lot of the things that I was doing was just running the sequencer into the filter. So like it solved that in one complete thing. It's a unique sound. But they also have a rhythm workstation, which is kind of like a clock divider, multiplier with an envelope. So that was awesome. And then I finally got their bass delay, their Bucket Brigade delay, which is, in my opinion, a complex oscillator creator. Because any voice that I put into it, it pretty much makes a complex oscillator. It's not like really a delay. It's just a voice enhancer. I'm falling in love with those as like accessories to my Verbo system. And now I'm just like thinking about control. So whether that's ways that I can use light sensors or anything, because all those pedals also have a built-in light sensor on them. So you can you can play with me.
I think I saw you mention in a post that you finally collected all of them. Correct? Yeah.
Yeah, so the bottom here has like a little light sensor, and you can patch that into wherever. So if you want to like have the feedback, like delay time or the feedback time or whatever, controlled by like your hand motions, you can do that.
Cool.
It's like giving me different ways of engaging with the core of the system that I love, which is the Verbo.
Nice. Well, I mean, okay, so before we... I want to get into a little bit of your background, but just while we're talking about the whole performance aspect... The patching live, like, I mean, everybody was asking about that. Talk a little bit about that. And for those, you know, who are listening and not sure what patching is, just he's using the system, he's actually having to take these actual cables to patch his instrument together in order to create the sounds. And you were just basically doing that from just like starting with a blank slate and then just. And I've played live sets. This is just like, I know this is a recorded performance, but I've played a couple live sets with you where you've shown up with zero patch cables.
I mean, it was a 50-50 thing for me, because it was like when I was making my Eurek case, my modular case, a portable one at least, it didn't have space to have patch cables. And I was like, all right, cool. This is a fun challenge. But at the same time, it's kind of like, I enjoy the aspect of doing a live performance that allows me to read out the night. I mean, maybe that's like the DJ side of me, but I don't think that I would be able to program something and then take it out and then have the feedback happen with whatever's going on if I pre-patched it or planned it. I mean, I do try to have like a game plan going into it sometimes. So like with the one I just did on the video, I had all the chords set up with the tracker and the hydrosynth. So I had to tune my oscillators to match that. And sometimes I don't, and I go with whatever sounds good. But it's a way for me to kind of like push myself because I want to be able to maximize my time when I'm recording. The best way for me to do that is to be comfortable with my instruments. It's just being able to come up with as much ideas as possible when I'm performing. And that means when I'm doing a something here that I'm trying to make a record or whatever, I can come up with stuff on the spot. I'm not just like trying the same things. It also pushed me in that aspect too, because if I had it pre-patch, I don't know how often I would change it, because it kind of like, all right, I found this good thing and I don't want to break it.
Like a comfortable, you feel exactly. like it'd be too comfortable. Do you find that, is your system completely, I guess I see it now, you've pulled all the cables. So has that become a habit now that you make a patch, you either record it or do whatever you're going to do with it, and then just pull it at the end?
Absolutely. Because, I mean, whenever I want to make music, I don't want to have to unpatch what I had before. And I enjoy like, all right, cool, I have an idea, let me go over to my system and just like go for it and spend 30 minutes doing that. And then afterwards, then I'll have my thing recorded, but I want to have a clean slate or a clean canvas. It's like going into the kitchen. I just want like all stuff to be put away.
Clean and ready to go, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay. So do you find, and I want to talk a little bit about your music and some of your releases, but before we dive into that, I just want to kind of throw out there, do you feel, and maybe think about it and answer it later when we get into it, but do you find that by patching like this, it has allowed you to put your music, like release your music or let go of it? You know how some producers, it takes a long Absolutely. Time to put something out sometimes. And then
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a really cool quote that I like by the dub artist Scientist. He did like a lot of dub mixes in like the reggae era. But someone mm-hmm. asked him like this long interview, what are some of your favorite records that you've done for some of your fans? You want to like shout some of the stuff so they can go check it out? And he's like, I've done like 5 records a week for like 30 years. You pick one. They're all my kids. I do the best I can when I'm raising them. And then afterwards, they're in the world. So however they do, it's good. So essentially, it's like I do the best I can when I'm recording it. I express myself when I'm doing it. And then afterwards, I can't like I can't hold on to it that much. I have to allow it to live its own life. And whatever it's going to happen after that, it's cool. But I have to keep focusing about like what it is that I want to do next, because I don't know. I've spent like multiple years working on one project and then like putting it out and then like nothing happens. And I have right. to not invest that much emotionally into something. I have to be able to express myself. And then when it's done, I'm able to work on the next thing that I'm doing.
And move on. You know, I have to agree. Like I was sort of that person too, especially when I first started producing. It was like, took a long time to let it go. But as I got into modular, it's just, I just make something, toss it or record it, or just, yeah. it helped me be able to just kind of keep it moving in that sense. But let's kind of take a step back and just get into your background a little bit. Like, how did you get into music?
Sure. I mean, my parents have both been involved with DJing in some aspects when I was growing up. My mom, she was a college radio DJ, and that's because she was from New York. She went to school in Florida, and she grew up in the Bronx. So naturally, she knew hip-hop. The college station that she was at was like, hey, I heard that you're from New York and that you're from the Bronx. Like, you're on the radio. And she was like, what? Like, you're on the radio. So that was like, she told me experiences about that. My dad, he had a pair of 1200s at his house. Whenever I would go over there, I'll just like mess with those and like do mixes, and he would teach me how to mix. And I don't know, by the time I was 15, I was like my middle school's DJ, doing random parties and whatnot. And by the time I was in high school, I was working for DJs who were throwing club parties and whatnot. So that's kind of like always been
cool.
a thing. Yeah, it's always been a thing that I've been doing. And yeah, there was like some blog post or some book where someone was saying that if you want to be a great architect, you have to be an apprentice. If you want to be a great painter, be an apprentice. So at like 16, I emailed like DJs doing Baltimore club music, like, hey, you guys are close by. Like, do you guys need a hand at the shows, or like you need to carry some crates or whatnot? So yeah, I was like quickly getting myself involved in DC nightlife at the time. And yeah, then I moved over here to kind of explore what's going on the West Coast.
Nice. So okay. So then how did you, so that's your DJing side. Then how did you move into production and then into
sure.
live performance? What was your yeah, morph
totally.
To that?
So, I mean, when I was playing DJing and whatnot, I would always like geek out about the records. It's like, it was what's made me most excited, which is like figuring out like how this stuff was done. And when I was in the East Coast, it was almost like a dark arts thing. It's like you go one time you get a chance to go to a producer's house and like you look up the stuff and they're like, whoa, what's going on here and whatnot. And I would like eventually learn how to do basic sequencing and make tracks in Ableton and like the normal trajectory for most people. And I think what really got me deep in the rabbit hole, when I got over here, there's just so many people who have so much knowledge. Like there's studios that have been here for ages. There's like a million things that are on Craigslist that are being tossed away every day. And I was fortunate enough to like meet up with some people who knew enough about like the synth world and synthesis. And I just fell in love. I mean, I initially got into Modular to make a live performance DJ hybrid rig. It wasn't initially like I didn't even have any oscillators for the first like 2 years of my Modular journey. I just had filters because I was like using ES8 to process audio going through Traktor and doing a whole like Eurorack DJ performance thing.
That's pretty cool though too. I mean, you know, that's the great thing about Eurorack. You can dip into it however, and it just keeps evolving.
Definitely. I mean, like I really did enjoy that concept, and I might go back to it if I can make a travel situation that works well and have like a good integrated thing for it. But I mean, it seems like people just really enjoy the live sets more and more these days. Mm-hmm. So that's something that like it's whatever people are more interested in, I'll gravitate towards that because it's something that people like, I want to be able to help like people connect with me. So yeah, I mean, people just have been more interested in like having the laptop removed from the performance entirely. Some aspects are just like, hey, I enjoy the visual aspect of just like no computer. And some of it's like actually, I love the fact that you're able to create things that are more like artistic in that aspect and not so like techno samey, which can happen when you just like DJ sets and there's not like a way to break the clock or like not use the clock.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I remember this was like a few years ago or more. I remember you played my birthday party live.
Yeah.
And we all did live sets and you were doing, you had a hybrid situation. It was like, I think you might have been using like Traktor along with your Modular or the T. Yeah. But it was a very nice blend of the aspect of the Modular. And then I think you were mixing Traktor. I don't know. It was a little bit ago, but it was a great set. I do remember that. And I remember the dance floor was rocking. So,
with those ones, I was running. There's like this module called the ES8 from Expert Sleepers. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially an audio interface as a module. So you can connect it to your computer and it works the same way an audio interface works. So I was having the outputs from Traktor come out of the ES8 module. That way I can have the filters and the sequencers controlling the filters and the VCAs controlled by different sequencers as well too, controlling the audio coming out of Traktor. So with a DJ track, I mean, have you seen DJ Bone perform? He has have you seen his hands on the faders when he's performing?
Yeah.
It's insane. It's madness.
Yeah. It's magic.
I was trying to figure out a way, like, how can I make a system to use control voltage to modulate my VCAs the same way that he's doing his hands in those faders? You know what I mean? So, that was my way of trying to go down that rabbit hole and having sequencers that are controlling filters that are doing, like, all the type of stuff. So, that was definitely a fun exploration. And I might pursue that again.
Yeah, if A, DJ Bone is an awesome DJ, and B, like, that's a interesting way to, like, use VCAs is to try to, like, see if, well, we could do that with the WMD filter, which essentially you can modulate the open and close of the,
exactly.
So I do that too sometimes, just to have, like, another rhythmic part happening, like almost like an AB where you can pull the patch cable and it just becomes something else.
Definitely.
So, I know you mentioned one of the artists as an influence. Name some artists that you're influenced by. Yeah, sorry.
I mean, a lot of people. I mean, recently, I mean, Mark Vobers, who's making these systems. I mean, his whole mentality when he's going into his productions, it's really interesting. I mean, Green Velvet is massive influence. Mr. Fingers. I mean, it's hard for me to just name a bunch, but yeah, I mean, there's
No, I know there's a lot, right? Yeah.
Jeff Mills is probably right now my biggest person who I'm looking up to right now. I mean, Juan Atkins, his whole lineage. P-Funk, Funkadelic, RZA. I mean, the list goes.
Very cool. Yeah, no, and I can hear it. I can hear some of those influences in your music. So that's why I wanted to ask you just to see who you just kind of throw out. And you've had several releases. So what you want to kind of plug and just talk about some of your new releases. Absolutely. That you have coming up?
Yeah. So the most recent one that I've released was Close Forest. That was an EP that I did with Tap Nuo. And for that one, we kind of initially made a handful of records to send them out to different people. One of that batch of handful of records became a release that happened on Valence. That was New Metropolis. But the other set of records became Close Forest. That one's more like swampy vibes. We got the inspiration for the name just because it was like dubby, dripped and reverb, echoey tracks, kind of inspired by like Scudge. But
for it's a great album. It's great. Yeah.
Thank you. For the other ones, it was more like high energy, peak techno. So that one was the Valence one. So that's New Metropolis. And then before that, I did an EP with Force Placement, Transport. So that one was definitely really cool. I got a lot of awesome remixes from that one too. And then before that one was... I think that was The Messenger. So yeah, The Messenger was the first EP that I did. And that one happened because I was initially just doing singles and I wasn't really in the album or EP mindset. But I realized that it was a good way to push myself to have a complete package, to have something that has a story, that has a concept besides just one singular track. So yeah, I've been... joining the Bandcamp community and doing stuff with them.
Nice. No, I wanted to, while we were talking about it, just drop a couple links in the chat so people can find them. They're also just to let people know out there, number one, thank you so much for being here and listening to us talk about music and learning about Jelani. I've also left all the links below so you can be sure to follow him and check out his music. But let's talk about also some of the collaborative things you've been doing. I know, especially like with Black Techno Matters, you've done a couple events. Yeah.
The Black Techno Matters crew is really cool because it's like they're focusing all their efforts on building the core of what techno was initially. It's just like a group of people who are trying to make something to uplift and expand beyond what their current situation reality is in the world. It's like making a futurist reality, and Black Techno Matters is a bunch of people from DC that I actually knew when I was doing the whole DC club circuit. So it's cool to see how big they've grown. And we did a performance together at German Institute recently. They had a whole panel there, discussion where we were talking about kind of like how techno has influenced Germany and how Germany has influenced the Black culture in America currently, and how it's kind of like an interplay going on between Berlin and Detroit. But yeah,
it was a great experience.
Yeah, it was a great night. It was a great space. They had they have an entire installation going on there where they have different techno artifacts from around
the world, right? It was just throughout the years and around the world. Yes. And then we played the takeover together, and Bernard, the founder of Black Techno Matters, was out with Kemi as well.
It was a great night.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to doing more stuff with you and with them. And
we have a couple of things lined up for the future. I don't know if I can talk about it yet, so I'm still like trying to tiptoe around what's publicly available information. But there's more stuff happening with them in the future, and it's really exciting.
Nice. And I guess I just want to circle back, and we're talking about the whole collaborative experience. One of the things that I picked up your last album on Bandcamp and the artwork, and that's a collaborative as well.
Berkeley, my girlfriend, she does all the artwork, unless it's like with the release I did for Valence. that the artwork's controlled by them. But if I have the ability to control the artwork, Berkeley's doing the artwork. And she is a painter. She's been spending many years just like refining her craft. So I was like, yeah, I need you on my artwork.
Yeah, so, it's very cool.
She's taking over all like the visuals. And it was an oil painting for the first couple of paintings that we did. And then she's transitioned between mediums. Now she's doing gouache and different stuff. So yeah.
Very nice. Well, hopefully we'll see like a vinyl press in the future where it's like the jacket, because yeah, it's great. Like I really enjoyed seeing the pieces that she's done for you. So
yeah, she has a lot of cool stuff coming soon too. She just made her online store, so you can like, she's making paintings on a regular basis now. So if you want to check out paintings there, it's very cool.
Cool. So with the whole, with regards to releasing music versus performing or DJing, is one of them more important to you? Like if you had to choose?
I mean, I wouldn't say one's more important, or they scratch different itches in my brain. Being able to make music and production, it's a very, solo thing for me. And even if I do a collaboration project with someone, it's a very intimate thing. Either way, it's something that has me going inwards, and I'm finding things and expressing them that way. When I'm DJing, it's more so me being able to share what I have currently. So when I'm making music, ironically, when I'm making music, it's like it's me going inward, and it's not necessarily me like thinking about sharing until the end, until I'm like mixing it and like finishing it up. It's still like me going inward. But when I'm DJing, it's kind of like, all right, these are things that I love that I want to share with you guys. So it's a different feeling for each one of them. If I had to choose like being put in one hat or doing one professionally and having to do one, I mean, not being able to do another one.
Yeah, just for the entertain it. Like,
just
yeah.
Just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'll probably try to do DJing just because I can. I would be concerned if I was producing professionally for other people, because I have to. I mean, I have to like help satisfy whatever they want to have happen. I mean, maybe me as the artist producing for myself, that could be a thing. But it seems like it's either you're going to be working for other people and making their ideas happen, or being able to kind of just follow your own path. And I don't know if I'll be able to keep up.
Right. And I think too with DJing, I guess you would still be able to play your own tracks among.
Absolutely. I mean, like I can still be my own artist in that aspect. But if I'm like producing for other people, I mean, I definitely am interested. I would love to do both in tandem, but I understand that like if that's the main source of income, it's going to be a very collaborative process with a lot of other people and a lot of other interests, and it's definitely something that requires a different skill set.
Yes, and definitely. Okay, so with your modular, I know you like hardware. Is there anything that you? What's your favorite module? Let's start
my
there
favorite
first.
Individual
yeah.
module.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a favorite? Wow. Like,
I mean, I probably can answer that question, but it's like, what's your favorite kid? It's a mean question. The Voltage Multistage from Verbose, the sequencer itself. I mean, I it's not like something that's technically insane. They probably have a million different modules that work the exact same. Maybe, I don't know, but it's the source of my expression. So it's what I use the most. It's what I play with the most. I mean, I would have to say that's my that's my favorite module. I mean, hands down. I mean, my most feature packed dense module is probably the Monome Ansible, which is the interface for the grid, and you can do way more with that sequencer. I mean, it's much more powerful, but I enjoy the sliders. I enjoy the throw of the feel. I enjoy having switches that turn on and off the gates.
Nice. I'm a simple guy. I wanted to hear. I meant to ask you that early. So sorry for throwing you off, but I was like, I gotta ask. So, and I just, let's talk about just the scene. I know we were talking a little bit about, you know, Black Techno Matters and having playing various events, the whole aspect of DJing and playing live. And then you just having the experience of both East Coast, West Coast. How do you How do you feel about this? Yeah, and how do you feel about the scene nowadays, like in terms of even being a live artist or not?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I kind of feel like club scenes on the East Coast are, in a way, they're in their own different bubbles. They have their own ecosystems that are able to exist without the outside world really successfully. And as a result, they kind of are able to breed something that's more authentic in many ways. Over here, it's a much higher stakes game, and it's like all the eyes are watching constantly. So as a result, there's less space for exploration that creates like a natural subculture. It's good and bad in some
over
senses.
Over here versus East Coast.
Exactly. It's good and bad in some senses, because like in East Coast, you'll be able to do something for years and it will be harder to get recognition for that. But then at the same time, it's like over here, you can get more recognition for what you're doing. And it's a double-edged sword. I mean, like being able to make music and have no one hear it is a really good way to make better music. It allows you to like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
It allows you to dig deeper and find things that are more unique inside yourself. And I feel like that's definitely happening in like club scenes on the East Coast. Over here, it's been 10 years since I've been over there. So my perspective is probably like dated, but but I mean, over here it seems like it's more people who are interested, which is amazing because it's more opportunities. It's more chances to do things that are influential and have opportunities to share with people. So yeah, I mean, I think that's the main difference for me so far. It's that if I'm doing things here, I have the opportunity to just connect with more people.
Do you feel that, have you been mostly in the techno scene here in LA versus, I know we have a big deep house scene.
I mean, been involved in enjoying all the scenes here, but as far as what people are requesting for me, it's mainly in the techno world. I mean, I would love to play house shows. I have a deep catalog for that as well too, but yeah, I mean, I feel like the techno scene in Los Angeles really just spoke to me because how open it is. I mean, even just between techno and house music, I feel like there's slightly more rules in house music than there is techno. As far as just like maintaining the vibe of the night, you know what I mean? Like you can kind of throw a lot more left turns in techno. So I kind of, the weirder stuff gravitated me to that.
I think agree with you there.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I've definitely enjoyed like all the scenes that happened from like the last low-end theories that were happening. I mean, that was fun to experience. And all the things that were happening as far as like the EDM stuff. I mean, that's where I was working when I came over here. I was working for EDM DJs. So I'm familiar with all those worlds.
Got it. And then Respect, which was the drum and bass, bass scene here.
I love the Jungle Nights.
Yes. Yep. Well, is there anything that you want to plug or say to our audience while you have them here or any?
Yeah, I mean, if you have the opportunity next year, do Jamuary.
Yes.
I feel like that's something that really helped me just be able to do improvisational performances a lot easier. And it was something that I kind of put myself into that corner. I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to be doing live performances. But yeah, if you can, do Jamuary. It's hard, but it's amazing.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. Like this year I was like, I kept it more of an Instagram post, but it did really push me to, I would grab something, two random things, toss them together and just like dive in. Okay, you have a few minutes. Like, let's see what you can come up with and what you can create in this short etched amount of time.
I would wake up and I was like, all right, what can I do today that I haven't done so far? And that thought process is like, I have to post this. It's going to be on the internet. What can I do? What's unique? It pushes you. It makes you think of like new things. And I definitely recommend it.
Cool. We do actually have a question from Ballot Spring here. Right. I'll pop it up. Can you see it here? I'll read it too. Out of the verbose multi-stage, what do you use to quantize pitch?
Sure. So with the oscillators for Verbose, they have attenuators on them. So you can kind of like reduce the amount of input or whatever. But I guess to answer your question, I'm not quantizing pitch for the most part. I'm just scaling down the voltage and then using that to kind of like tune it by ear. I do have a quantizer and I've used it sometimes. It's like the Erica Synth 3HP quantizer, and it's cool and it's great. But I've just been tuning my oscillators to have like a bass frequency. So if I bring all the sliders down at zero, I know that they're hitting G or F or whatever I tune them to. And then from there, I'm like going up and like playing with whatever sounds like it fits in the moment. But there's not like a fixed quantizer. And yeah, I mean, I was kind of going down like micro tuning rabbit holes, wondering if that's a solution. I'm like, each more inventive solution for micro tuning is more and more steps, which just gets you closer to like a straight CV curve. So I'm like, why am I even fighting this? Like, let me just
right. And then, like, do you find that it's a little more liberating as opposed to trying to worry about being in a specific scale
100%. I mean, like, if it sounds good, then I'm great. If it doesn't sound good, it probably something isn't working well, and I'm need to nudge my faders more. But it's like, if it's dissonant and your brain doesn't like it, then it's probably wrong. So keep moving until you get something right.
That's great advice.
Or if you want dissonance, that's a great way to get it.
Right. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time and being here and sharing your story and just your process.
Thank you for having me.
It's been great. I would love to have you back. But yes, so I just want to say thank you out there for listening. This is Traversi and Transduction Signal on Dub Lab Radio. And yeah, have a good night.